Thank you, Brooke and Steve.
Wow. Couldn't we just continue to worship this way? Wow. You guys feel God's presence here? Because He's here. That last song, when I love the part where it says that He won't fail. I want to bring that a little bit stronger. He will never fail, ever. And that's the God we serve. That's Jesus. I want to call up John Kula here. Pastor John, I don't think there's much announcements. Is there the Connect Center's over on the beach if you really want to go? No, those are lights. Don't get people's hopes up. John is a senior pastor of Freedom Ministries and Freedom Mountain Ministries, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep, and he has a degrees in theology, criminal justice, pastor leadership. He was a chaplain for 9 years at Genesee Jail, right?
Genesee County Jail, yeah. Thor Detention Center, too. I should do Bible studies at Thor Detention Center.
All right. So, his heart is to help people who are hurting.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, let me pray for you, John, and give us God's message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you just be with us all here. Be with John, Lord. You put a message on his heart. And it's your words. He's just delivering it, Lord. So I pray that you would just touch our lives with it, challenge us with it, and help us not to just leave it in our seats, but to take it out the door as we leave today. I thank you. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Whew. Isn't he worthy? Oh, is he worthy? So I thought we had a stand here. Did we? Ah, thank you. See, there's a Denny Fournier. He's from Welland. He built me a pulpit. Remember Denny?
Yes.
And because I'm so tall, it was like up to here. So now we have it in our ministry in New York. And when I go back and forth to New York, everybody else that's preaching, they use it, and they think it's pretty high. Said, yeah, this one's a little low. Does it go up higher?
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. That's better. Well, let's pray. Is this okay, the mic, all right? Because you mentioned that early on, that if I don't speak loud enough, I should use the handheld. Well, if I get louder, it's going to get loud. Anyway, praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, you became flesh. And through your flesh, you gave us your word by what you did on the cross for us. You ascended, Holy Spirit descended, and it's upon this word, your word, which speaks life into our hearts. So, Lord, I ask that the word that's spoken here today would speak life into me and everybody else in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it was awesome when Tara called and asked me back down in Tennessee months back in the winter if I could come out. And it was, wow, this is awesome. There'll be a reunion. I do move around a lot too, so hopefully. I say a reunion because as we were worshiping, I had tears. You know, because I see certain people in the room, Jerry St. Laurent, you know, different people that we met 24 years ago. And what God had done, you know, back then. And for me, it all started here. It started at the Americana Hotel in Lundy's Lane at a conference that I went to try to prove the guy wrong. I wasn't a believer. Matter of fact, I was far from a believer. And what happened at that conference, to make a long story short, there's a long testimony to it all. All the different things that I came to realization before I accepted Jesus in my heart, that there is evil in this world and it's trying to prevent me from getting something. So I fought through it to get to what I had to do. But through that, everything changed my life. It was deliverance that changed my life. I wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't be serving the Lord if it wasn't for deliverance. Everything shifted. Everything shifted in my life. And it turned out, me and Victoria got married, and we've been serving him for 24 years. And he's been blessing our road. But this is where it all started, in Americana, on Bernard Road, Ozark Trail, here in Ridgeway, My closest friend for years doing mixed martial arts was living there. So I was back and forth in Canada all the time back then. I lived in Niagara Falls, New York. But that's where it all started. His mom, those prayer warrior old women, older women back then, boy, they were just on fire. And they just filled me with the Spirit, filled me with everything they knew. I just grabbed onto everything they had. And from there, we just started our ministries. We started in a house. Certain people would come to the house. We'd worship in the house. Then we got a little apartment where we were doing ministering with a lot of people from Wellspring and Welland back then, way back then. This is where I got my start. This is where the Lord started me, and it's always been in my heart to be able to come back. Because I loved all the people that were with us, and there's so many of them here today, actually. You know, some like from the Freedom Fellowship in New York, but we got like Henry and Jim and different ones I saw coming in. And it's like, man, it's just, it goes so far way back, right? But in saying that, though, there's power in the testimony and the blood of the Lamb, you know, and you have to speak your testimony, what God has done for you, and you got to back it up, and you back it up with the blood, you know, and what God has done. And there were tears because, you know, coming through all this, and, you know, my friend, we'll call him Al, his mom lived in Crystal Beach, you know, his dad was the judge in the area way back then, and he was one of the biggest drug dealers in the area way back then. But anyway, how God just shifts everything, turns everything upside down. It's been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind, but I wouldn't change a thing, you know. And I'm here to give you a word. And it was interesting, the worship, Brooke, every song she was singing, it's like, Lord, you sure you give me the right word to speak? And all of a sudden, she starts off with wait upon the Lord. It's like, okay. And there was hope. And then throughout all circumstances, it's like, well, she's preaching. I might as well forget it. She's got it all down pat. But that's how the Lord works, you know, because he's worthy of it all. And he knows that we have to know that his Spirit is there, and he's confirming everything with us, everything, you know. And God is so good. Niall, haven't seen Niall before COVID. I would see him all the time. Would he leave? I don't see him now. Oh, there he is. But yeah. It's definitely a homecoming to be back, you know, and the ministry has grown, you know, we've got the 60-acre campus in New York, and we have a campus and get some information. I pray that you guys, if you want to go somewhere to pray and rest and restore yourself, come to Prayer Mountain in Tennessee. I mean, we don't charge anything. You leave an offering when you leave, stay as long as you want. It's a blessing. It's a blessing for everybody to come and just pray. And then we just started another one in Manitoba, Total Freedom Manitoba, which is growing to the point where eventually, hopefully, we'll have women as well. So God is so good. He's brought us back. I can remember when we were at our wedding, and we were sitting there, I forget the name of that place we were at, Red Coach, which is along the river. And I was looking out there, and I'm thinking, Lord, you know, and he spoke to me then. He said, we're going to be on both sides of the rapids. And it's like, praise the Lord. He's going to keep us in both, move us in both directions to continue to advance his kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, let's go into scripture. Get my glasses on. We're going to go into Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6, which I have it written here anyway. I didn't know how that was going to happen at the beach. But anyway, Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Praise the Lord. There's a lot here what David is saying, but he starts off with waiting. And waiting is the one thing I know myself personally, I couldn't stand doing. Couldn't stand, it's just like, Lord, I want to do something now, I want to do it now. When we started the ministry, so the Lord had us in our heart to start the ministry here. So we're going down Lundy's Lane, looking at all these broken down hotels, see if we can grab one of those to refurnish it, to renovate it, to do what we wanted to do. And he kept slamming the door shut, you know, slamming the door shut. And I wasn't waiting. I just keep going. But you know, what I've learned that if our heart's in the right place, even if we start doing things and they're not right, like Peter, God loves us and he's going to redirect us. We just have to be available and ready to understand that he's stopping us and he's moving us in a different direction. Because I don't know how many times it happened. We went to so many different broken down motels on Lundy's Lane way out to see if we can purchase it. Doors get slammed shut. We even went to the mayor of Thorold to try to convince him that we could have a, take a property over. They turned it down. It's like, Lord, what are we doing? You know, but the thing is that God knew my heart. We ended up signing on to buy a property right on River Road in Niagara Falls. And then 2008, everything fell, right? In our eyes, we were thinking, well, we could kind of rent a room out, but still start the program, have guys come in here and live and disciple them. But everything fell apart. And it's like, how are we going to get out of this? And Lord has ways. So he got some rich gentleman in Calgary bought it. And so we got out of that one. So everything got changed. But in the waiting, sometimes we get anxious. And that was me. It was like, all right, I'm on fire. I want to be over here right now. I don't want to do A, B, C, D, E. I want to go A to Z. And it just wasn't happening. And then the one day we were in prayer, and the Lord gave me a verse. I had no idea what it was. And I just looked at Victoria and says, he's giving me Zechariah 2:6. So I opened up the book, and the first thing it said was, flee from the north. So I looked at her, and I'm being from Canada, from the States. She's being from Canada. It's like, either way, I said, I guess he wants us back over the border. So we never hesitated. We just, this is what God said. Now we're going to do what we have to do. And then the doors started opening, you know, and we ended up over there. The testimony about selling a home in one country, buying a home in another country, closing on both in the same day. It's got to be a Guinness Book of World Record. I mean, we did it. Literally, me and associate pastor back then, Richard, who passed away, we had to carry $90,000 of cash over the border to get this closing to happen in the same day. Otherwise, we had nowhere to live. So I get to the border, and the guy says, do you have anything? I said, yeah, it's what, $90,000 cash. Pull over. So, and these were kids. They had no idea how to handle this. So we're delayed, and we had to be in Lockport, New York, for the closing by 4:30. The lawyers were waiting there. It's like, oh, no, we're waiting 2-3 hours. Finally, somebody was senior man finally came over, and we told him, this is what we're doing. It's the only way we could do this. I had to get the cash because it wasn't going to move fast enough from one country to the other. So anyway, he let us go. We got there with Victoria doing 150 miles an hour. From the house to Lockport, we got there 4:29 and we closed on it so we could actually move into that house on the stateside. And ironically, the house we bought on the stateside, so some of you guys knew where we lived on Simcoe Street right next to the river there. That when we walked down the street, literally, I don't know, 300 yards to the river on the stateside, you could see the house we lived in over on the other side. And that's how God was working, right? And then he ended up moving us with, you know, into prayer, into this 60-acre campus in Darien, which is outside of the theme park where Kingdom Bound is, 7 minutes from Kingdom Bound. So that's how it all started. We bought that motel, and he transitioned it into what it is today, which is a ministry with capabilities of training people with automotive and a print shop and a restaurant, and everybody graduating this program is part of that. But it's trusting him and waiting. It's so important to wait, and that's what David says here, to wait upon the Lord, that we have to wait, and we don't want to jump and make the wrong decision and continue to do it and not hear him, because then it becomes a mess. But the one thing I can tell you is I did have the heart to understand when someone closed the door, I knew it was God doing it, so we had to look in a different direction. One more quick thing about that. So there's a property that we were looking at that in my eyes was, this is, I used to go by this every time I went hunting down in the Southern Tier. This place was perfect. It's beautiful. So a couple that graduated from the Tabernacle, and they had a ministry in Washington, D.C., they owned the property. They flew in on the 4th of July weekend so they could, me and Victoria and Associate Pastor Richard at the time could negotiate to purchase the property. So we're sitting there, and we both had the same real estate agent. So she's sitting in the middle. We're sitting over here, they're sitting over there, and we're exchanging stories, testimonies, and she's just about what God has done in our lives. And through this, she received the seed about everything that was we were talking about. So it was a blessing in that aspect. But again, to kind of, we sat there for like 4 or 5 hours trying to negotiate to get this property, and the gentleman would not let a piece of it go. And God's telling me, no, we got to have the whole property. We can't leave a piece to somebody else. So it got to it's pouring out now. So this was definitely the right decision. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So the real estate agent said, so we went back and forth with offers. Finally, we left. And it's like, I'm just flabbergasted. They flew already from Washington, D.C. to figure this out. So we're driving home, and I looked at Victoria. I says, you know what? Give him what he wants. Give him everything. She really is. Yeah, just give it to him. So we gave it to him. So we called her, and she's all excited. And she calls us back next day, whatever it was. She goes, you won't believe this. I said, what? He turned it down. I said, you told him you were giving him everything. She said, yeah, he turned it down. So right there, I knew God was in the middle of that. He didn't want us there. And at that point, it was like, what do we do? And anyway, we prayed about it. We finally found the place God wanted us to be. And ironically, God gives you confirmation if you know that you know that you know that it's him leading it, right? So we're in this place, and it's a snowbelt area. Darien, it's like snowbelt. You get snow for like 10 months out of the years. I'm not a snow person anymore. Used to be, but not anymore. But I'm thinking, why, Lord? Why here? I hate snow, and it's just all here all the time. And so me and the house manager went to this chainsaw place to get a chainsaw fixed, and he's talking to this young man about the ministry, what God's doing, and he's asking him, so where's this place at? He goes, it's on 20, and he says, oh, my grandfather had a place there. And it tickled my ears, so I went over to, yeah, where was that? He goes, it's where the motor shop is now. I said, oh, it's right next door. He goes, yeah, that used to be a church. And my grandfather's mission was to get people out of the city, to bring them there, get them straight, and to send them back. And the Holy Spirit just fell on me. And I said, well, what is his name? And he said, Tom, Pastor Tom. I said, what happened? He said, well, he passed away, and the family got in a fight, and they sold the property to this auto shop. And right there, the Lord says, you know what? His word doesn't come back void. So what he couldn't finish, God says, I'm just giving you to finish. Pastor Tom's vision, right? And I noticed that Lord answers me in a lot of areas because that's what he's done over the years in different places we were. Even the secret place, you know, down on Queen Street. It was supposed to be somebody else, but we took up the mantle and did it. You know, and in that secret place, he gave us seasoning to do what we're doing today, you know, 15 years later after that. But waiting is so important. That's why David says, I wait on the Lord, my soul waits. And then he goes on to say, in his word, I do hope. In his word, I do hope. You have to be in the word, right? It's not like on the weekend or here and there. We got to be in the word all day, every day. You know, the word is Jesus. So if we believe that and we understand that and he's changed our life, filled us with the Holy Ghost, we got to be in the word. You know? God is the Lord. He's given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. That's my verse for the year. What does that mean? It means to bind. The horns of the altar is the word. I'm the sacrifice and I'm clinging to his word. I'm binding to his word. Remaining in his word. Why? So that I can be in his presence all day, every day. And he's going to get me, good old stumbling me, through each day. Because if we don't have him leading us, we're doing it. And you know what happens when we do it? You know? So David's saying, listen, I'm waiting. And when I'm waiting, my only hope is in his word. In his word. But, you know, you look at it like everybody's fast food, right? Fast food, fat. You know what? You know what's more aggravating than anything is when you're trying to get to a website and you got that little circle going around. Just keeps going around and around and around. Says, really? I've been waiting 45 seconds. What's going on? Why don't you get to... Boy, I think we've all been there. I know I've been there. It's like I'm expecting it to happen right away, right? But, you know, we want answers immediately. We want answers immediately, you know, and we want healing instantly. Victoria can attest to this. I'm probably like third behind Evel Knievel with all the different injuries that I've had in my life and how God has healed them. But the biggest one in waiting was I had a severed tendon in my shoulder. They showed me the x-ray and he explained it to me. He said, listen, this tendon snapped. And when it snapped, it's like a rubber band. It just sucked right back into both sides of the bones. It's gone. So I couldn't do this because it was all gone. And it's like, okay, surgery. Well, we can do surgery. That's about a 50% chance. 50%? Forget it. I said, forget it. I'm going to trust in the Lord that he's going to heal me. He's healed me before. He's delivered me. He's healed me before. So weeks go by. Months go by. A lot of pain. A lot of pain, especially if I'm trying to move it certain ways. But I'm trusting in you, Lord. And one day I was working out. I got in the sauna. It's like 6 months later, I'm sitting in the sauna. I said, yeah, it's getting hot. But this is a different kind of hot. This is not the normal hot in the sauna. This was real heat coming in my body. And I thought, whoa. So I didn't think nothing of it. I got in the shower, started washing my hair. And then, it's so funny. So washing my hair. It's like, wait a minute. I could never do this with this arm. And it's like, I started going like this, and I started yelling at her, I'm healed. The Lord healed me. He healed me. But that's just one. I can stand here for 2 hours and give you the healings the Lord has done in my body, from my ankles to my head, everything in between. They told me I'd be in a wheelchair by the time I was 50 with these injuries I had in martial arts. They told me I couldn't touch my toes because I got a rod and a plate that big. And if you know what drywall screws look like at Home Depot, there's three of them on each side going like this at an x-ray. But they said I couldn't even touch my toes. They said I'd be in a wheelchair when I was 50. And I'm something is in. A little older than that. Anyway, praise the Lord. He heals, but we have to wait. You know, we have to wait. And David's saying, listen, wait. But in that waiting, we have to hope. And the only hope we have is in the Word, in Jesus. There's no other hope. No matter where we go and what we do, there is no other hope. We have to trust in him. 100% trust in him. I did a teaching on Einstein theory. I did a little science when I went to school for criminal justice, but I'm not a scientist by no means. But Einstein had a theory of relativity. And in that theory of relativity, I had to write it down. Time is relative, right? It's not absolute. It's relative. It has motion and gravitational pull, Einstein says, in time. And he called it space-time. So we have space-time. In the space-time, he says, we have what they call time dilation. Listen to what I'm saying. Time dilation can either compress or expand. And that's what happens when we're waiting. If we're waiting without hope, everything gets compressed. 1 minute could feel like 2 hours. When is this day going to end? I'm going through so much trials and tribulations. Wow, it's only 2 o'clock. I thought it was about 11 at night so I can go to bed. It's a compression that takes place in that time dilation. But when it expands, just like the Lord has done in my life, in these 24 years of my life, anything prior to that was compressed. These 24 years are a whirlwind. It's like it feels like it's only been 2 minutes how God's worked in our lives. But see, it's the time dilation that we have to understand. When we're waiting and we're in his word, he deals with the time. It's his time, not ours, right? His time, not ours. What do I got? A couple minutes left. I'm going on. I knew this was going to happen. 8 minutes. All right, we're going to move on here. So when we're in that phase, when we're in that fast food mode, and the answers we want aren't coming, that's when we have to really get into prayer. We have to get in his word. We have to meditate. We call it soaking. I mean, you just get into meditation. David meditated all the time. When he was 16, what do you think he was doing out there with the sheep? He was meditating. Because God speaks to us in that quiet time, and be still, know that I am God, right? He speaks to us in that meditation. And even if he's not speaking to us, listen, if we bind the sacrifice to the horns of the altar, if we're remaining and abiding his word, you know his presence is there. I don't feel his presence 24/7, but I know it's there. 100%. Not even 99. 100% I know Jesus is there. You know, and I think in the church today, we have a hard time sometimes really believing. And it was interesting because at Kingdom Bound, we do sell our shirts there. We're right in front of the worship center when we're selling the shirts, so we hear all the music in the background. Paul Balazs was there, and he had a new song. It was called Yes, We Believe. But the lyrics hit me when I was listening to it. So I already downloaded it. We're going to worship with it in our meetings. But he's asking, you know, in that, do you really believe? Do you really believe? Do you really believe that Jesus was here as man? He died for our sins. Do you really believe? Do you really believe he rose from the dead? And the only way you're going to really believe is have that relationship with him. It's not about religion. It's not how many times you pray and read the word. It's got to be a relationship, right? And if anybody knew about relationship, David did. He knew God. He knew Jesus. Praise the Lord. Waiting for his timing. Hope in his word. And that's what we got to understand. Circumstances, the darkness. You know, when those things happen, we have confidence when those things happen. There's a peace, a never-ending peace that Brooke talked about. All these things she spoke about, if you're listening and you're worshiping, God brings this upon us. He brings upon a peace. Jesus said, I'm giving you a peace that the world can't give. Do you believe that? Are you living it? Are you still carrying anxiety, fear, and worry? They can't cohabitate. They will not cohabitate. When you have that true peace of Jesus in your heart, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the feelings we are, if things aren't changing like we want them to, like I didn't get healed for 6 months, I'm not going to lose faith. I'm going to keep trusting in him that he's going to pull us through. Because his word tells us that. And if we truly hope in his word speaks volumes. There's no other word but his. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. We change. Cultures change. Jesus has never changed. People ask me, well, what's your denomination? I said, I have no denomination. I'm going to continue it. I continue the Gospels like the book of Acts, and I live it that way. And whatever God puts on our heart, and it's his, then he's leading the way. He's leading the way. We get in the way, we make things messy, and we got to separate that. We're all one. Jesus prayed in John 17, Jesus prayed that we would all be one. So when he prays that we all be one, listen, we have to agree on the essentials, but we can have liberty on the non-essentials, right? And the essentials is Jesus died on that cross. He saved me, right? He saved me. He saved us. It's unchanging. But again, Romans 15, 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13. By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power, and it's not the power you think. Power, the definition of power means producing an effect, meaning something changed. Somebody sees me that didn't know me. Wow, you changed. Power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Changing the way we think, change the way we do things. Led by His Word. It's, and when the Holy Spirit's guiding us and leading us, it strengthens our believing. It strengthens our belief that we can get into His Word and get every answer that we ever need about anything. Anything. Even if He wants you to get swallowed by a fish. People laugh at that, but it happened. Jesus spoke of it. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. People talk and argue about the Trinity. I don't know and I don't care. Why should I want to debate and argue with somebody about something like that? I know God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. If you don't want to believe He's one, you know, so be it. But I know He is. But you know, but the bottom line is that it is what it is, right? We got to focus on the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood had to be shed so that we can be healed and that curtain can rip down so now we have a relationship with God. That's the key to everything. The power within us, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit guides us, right? Jesus said He's our helper, our teacher, our counselor. He's there in times that we need Him. He's there to comfort us when we're hurting. We got to ask, though. Ask, seek, and knock. If we're not asking, seeking, and knocking, He's not going to do anything. God's not going to do anything unless He has a vessel to do it with. Praise God. In Psalm 30, verse 5, for the anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We're going to go through things. We can't give up. We can't give up. I've seen so many people give up. They didn't get the answers they wanted. They didn't wait upon the Lord. They didn't hope in His Word. They didn't deal with the circumstances of life the way God wants us to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Many quit praying, stopped believing. And a lot of times it happens just before God is bringing the answer. You know, and that hurts to see that. It's disheartening a lot of times. His timing is perfect. We have to always understand that. Even though it looks really bad, we have to understand that His timing is perfect. Listen, we're in this place instead of on the beach for such a time as this. There's a reason for it. I look at it from that perspective. Doesn't matter. There's a reason. The worship's been awesome. You know, His presence is awesome. And that's all that matters. Whether there's 2 or 15,000, it doesn't matter. Because His presence is all that matters, and that's all I want is His presence. So in saying that, when we wait upon our Lord, we hope in His Word, we have to trust by expecting. So I was thinking, but this was for the beach more than here, but how many of you go out there, like the scripture says, and expect that the sunrise isn't going to happen? There's total expectancy that the sun rises, and that's what David's saying here, right? Who's going to go out there in the morning looking for a sunrise and thinking it's not going to come? The sunrise is coming. Mind you, there's clouds and there's rain, but there's light underneath it, right? We're going through the circumstances, but we know with an expectancy. David wants the word. Jesus wants us to know, listen, expect it. Expect something to happen. You need healing. Expect it. You need prayer. You need salvation for your kids. Expect it. Know it's going to happen. Believe in it. Hope in His Word. But you have to wait. It's not going to happen when you want it to happen. It may not happen when you're alive, but your daughter may or son may accept Jesus in his heart. Praise the Lord. You know it's going to happen because Jesus said so. Abraham didn't know. He didn't know what he was going to have. God told him that. He stood firm on that belief, but he didn't see all that happened. See, when we're in the Word, we're going to understand that. It's going to resonate in our heart, and from our heart, it brings it up into here, which is dangerous, and it kind of twists everything around so we have the mind of Christ and understanding on what He's telling us, not what the enemy wants to tell us or our own flesh. Praise the Lord. So yeah, the sun is coming up. It did come up. We knew it was going to come up. There was no doubt in our mind it was going to come up. And the same has to happen with what you want to believe. Wait on the Lord. Hope. Hope. Hope in His Word. Hope doesn't disappoint. And when we move in that, we're going to know, just like those that look for the sun in the morning, that it's going to come. But on His time, not ours. Trust in His timing. Stand firm in His word. And believe. Expect His faithfulness. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm finished. He's finished. I don't know if. So I, you know, again, and there's this hope that we all know, right? That He has in His Word. So if anyone needs prayer, they need to talk anything. We have people that are here to help in that, right? May God bless you and thank you so much. God is good. Is that it?
Thank you for that word. I love how the Lord orchestrates. We didn't talk about any songs or anything like that. And just the whole first set was about, you know, strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. And just who our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, hey? And so just love how he does that. Why don't you stand to your feet as we just close together. Let's just lift our voices to heaven one more time. And just tell Him of how great He is and how much we love Him.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord. Your breath, it's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to You, only. You give life, You are love, You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, You restore every heart that is broken. Yes, You do.
Says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so together in this room, we prophesy as we say, all the earth will shout Your praise. Our hearts will cry and these bones will sing, great are You, Lord, and worthy of the highest praises. Come on, let's declare that together. And all the earth will shout Your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great.
heavens, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these boats will sing. Great are you, Lord, yes. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these boats will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, yes. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
Sing that one more time. So I throw up my hands.
So I throw up my hands. Praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much. I've nothing fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
And so we throw our hands up and worship to you today, Lord. We say thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you did in this space, in every life, and in every heart, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that you would continue to move and speak to us today as we go about our day. We love you, Lord. We love your presence. And again, God, I just ask that you would fill people with the things that they need today. You know, every person represented in this room, the stories that they are living out in real time. And God, you are with them. You know them and you love them. And so, Lord Jesus, fill us, fill us, fill us. We give you glory and we give you honor and praise forever and ever. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. God's presence is here. Got an announcement? Okay, coffee in the back room. I want to thank John. I knew I'd love you the moment you said you were a hunter. And again, thank you, Brooke and Steve. God's presence here. Don't leave it here. Take it with you out those doors there. Walk down the street singing hallelujah. People might think you're crazy, but somebody might come and ask you what you're doing. That's it for me. I'm going to pray, and then I have to take off because I have to do a church service too. So, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, Lord, I pray that you just be with us, Lord. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. The challenge of waiting and walking in your path. So, Lord, help us not to try to make our own path, Lord, because it'll just go in circles. So, Lord, be with us now. Be with us the rest of the day and help us to be your children to all those we come in contact with. I thank you. I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.